Well, a very good morning to you and welcome to our morning worship here at First Rathfrieland Presbyterian Church. And if you're listening via YouTube through our CD ministry or catching up online again via our website, you too are equally welcome this morning. Just by way of announcements, I have just some short announcements to bring to your attention this morning. For those of you who subscribe to the Presbyterian Herald magazine, our coordinators, Mark and Julie Wilson, would like me to inform you that there is only one currently outstanding edition to be distributed, being April of this year. That magazine will arrive with you very soon. But please note that there is no plans to print any further copies of this publication until further notice. As we prepare to reopen our church buildings again for Sunday morning worship on Sunday the 16th of August, could I ask you to continue to pray for us as Kirk Session and members of the church committee as we make plans and preparations for our safe return to public worship again. Also, we will be in touch with you to give you further updates and advice as we get closer to that opening date. The Reverend Boyd continues to remain on annual leave, and in his absence, should you require the support of a minister or pastoral care of any nature, please do not hesitate to get in touch with me and I will make the necessary arrangements. Finally, it is my great pleasure to welcome this morning the Reverend Dr. Rob Craig, a former moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. I thank him for taking part this morning, and we trust and pray that you too will be blessed by his ministry here at First this morning. Thank you.
Before I lead you in prayer and we turn to God's word, first of all, I want to express my thanks to your minister, Trevor, for the invitation to be with you this morning and to share in this service of worship. You may or may not know, but for 9 years, I was the minister of Clough and Seaford, and then for 25 years in the congregation of Kilfenan in the city of Londonderry. And last year, I retired. My wife and I were looking forward very much to coming back to County Down for this weekend, but that was not to be. Nevertheless, thanks to modern technology, you've been able to continue your Sunday services for these several months during lockdown, and I am able to join with you this morning for this service of worship. Perhaps there'll be another time when I'll be with you in person and we can share together in the worship of God. But once again, my thanks to Minister Trevor for being able to share in this service here in First Rathfrieland this morning. Now, before we turn to God's word, we turn to him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come this morning to your throne of grace, so thankful that we can turn to you in our times of need and know that we can find grace and mercy to help us. We praise you that you are the God of grace, that we can come to you because you have first come to us. We love you because you have first loved us in Christ, and indeed we know you because in him you have made yourself known to us. We praise and worship you, Lord Jesus, that when you came on earth, it was to show us the Father. And when you came on earth, it was to give your life, to open up the way for us, that we might return to the Father. And we thank you for the work of your Spirit graciously in our lives, opening our eyes and opening our understanding, that we might turn to you and trust in you and find in you our hope of salvation. We confess before you that we are indeed wayward people, that we prefer to do things our own way. We want to run our own lives. We want to be our own masters. And yet, by the grace of God, we have discovered that in you there is life, there is freedom, there is a different and a far better way to live. And so we thank you for our experience of your grace, which we have already known in our lives. And we pray that we might continue to receive grace upon grace, and that you might show your grace to us even this morning as we turn to your word and reflect upon it together. As we do so, may we hear not only a human voice, but may we hear your voice speak quietly by the power of your Spirit in our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us, probably sung very often in church. It may well indeed be your favourite hymn. Now, this is just an impression I have, but my impression is that this hymn, Amazing Grace, written by John Newton, describing his own experience of God's grace, is still one of the most loved and frequently sung hymns in the Christian church. And as I say, it may well be one of your favourites. As the hymn puts it, the life of the Christian is a life of grace from beginning to end. The Apostle Paul, I believe, if he had known this hymn, would have been very happy to have sung this hymn. For when he writes about his own life, he describes it in this way. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am." Is there any better summary of the life of a Christian than this, to be able to say, "By the grace of God, I am what I am"? You know, when a pupil produces maybe surprising or an outstanding piece of good work, the teacher in surprise may say, "Is this all your own work?" And the pupil may have to own up and admit that he or she got help from a friend or from home. When the day comes and the Lord asks of you and me about our lives, "Is this all your own work?" what will we say? I think some, along with Frank Sinatra, will want to say, "Yes, I did it my way." But the hymn writer, John Newton, and Paul the Apostle, and every Christian will answer, "No. It is by the amazing grace of God that I am what I am." Well, since before Easter, since late March, we've all been living through lockdown and slowly coming out of it through the impact of COVID-19 upon our lives. We welcome the easing of the restrictions, even if we're somewhat anxious about that. Now, if someone had said to you 4 months ago that you would have to live through all of this, come to terms with homeschooling, not able to visit relatives in a care home or grandparents for several months or able to see their grandchildren, perhaps to be furloughed from work and the many other complications which this has brought to us, how would you have coped? Perhaps your heart would have failed you and you'd have said, "I couldn't cope with that. I don't know how I would ever get through it." And yet you have got through it. And I wonder, how have you made it so far? Now, we've received a lot of help and support from all kinds of people, not least our NHS personnel. But isn't it also by the grace of God that we have come this far? For not only did Paul write that it was by the grace of God, "I am what I am," he also wrote of how God had said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His words resonate with that verse in Newton's hymn, which reads as follows. "Through many dangers, toils and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace which brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home." This morning, I want to turn with you to Paul's experience of God's grace. that we might take it to heart personally, as if the Lord is saying to you and me this morning, my grace is sufficient for you. And as we look at what Paul has written, I want to highlight first of all for you his grace, that is God's grace for the thorns. His grace for the thorns. Now, it might have been a chronic medical complaint, or it might have been some ongoing persecution. We can't be sure. But it would appear that every now and then, Paul felt the twinge of this thorn in his flesh. And despite his prayers to the Lord about it, to take it away, he had to live with it. Maybe you say, I know exactly what that's like. Now, as I say, we may not know the nature of Paul's thorn, but Paul tells us and gives us the reason why the thorn was given to him. It was given for this reason, to keep him from becoming conceited. In other words, in the mystery of God's providence for Paul's life, God had a good reason or purpose. As in the mystery of providence with us, God always has a good reason or a purpose for the thorns that we may experience in life. You know how in this part of the world, we sometimes say of someone, he's got a bit of a wire about himself, hasn't he? Meaning that he's becoming a bit full of himself, and in the process, a bit unbearable. Now, I think Paul was in danger of having a bit of a wire about himself. You see, Paul had some amazing, unspeakable spiritual experiences, and that might easily have made him unbearable. Also, Paul was intellectually very able, well above average in his class, and that could have made him quite conceited and unbearable. And for these reasons, I think in particular, he had this thorn in his flesh, or thorn in the side. As I listen to some people tell me of what they have been learning during the whole process of lockdown, they speak not simply of learning new skills and improving the garden and painting fences, all of which is good, but they speak of learning and relearning about some of the priorities of life. One person told me how she had been learning to slow down, not doing quite so much and having more time to spend with the Lord. Another confessed how easily it is that we spend our money on for what and for things that really don't matter. And yet another about learning that she was no longer in control of life and learning to trust the Lord with each day. Now, on a human level, the politicians didn't lift the lockdown all at once. They were rightly afraid of a second spike in infections. But on another level, I wonder if the Lord is using that whole process of lockdown and this new normal, as we call it, so that the church at large, so that PCI in particular, First Rathfrieland as a congregation, and each of us personally might learn some important lesson. For if, like the Apostle Paul, I have to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, then let us pray not only that COVID-19 would be eradicated, that they would get a vaccine for it, but also that the Lord would give us the grace to learn from him through this time and through this experience. There was grace for the thorns, and then his grace which is sufficient. His grace which is sufficient. Do you recall the panic buying that there was at the beginning of lockdown? Hand gel and toilet rolls were flying off supermarket shelves. And then I understand that some weeks after that, all the home baking products were in high demand. Thankfully, we can say that despite this crisis, there have not been food shortages in our country. Supermarkets have stayed open. Yes, you might have had to book a slot to shop. Maybe you got your supplies delivered, or you had to stand in the queue. Or there was some family member who did the shopping for you. Now, however it was you did your weekly shop, thankfully there was and there is enough, and indeed more than enough in our part of the world. Now, what is true of the food in the supermarket is equally true of the grace of God and more so. There is enough. There is more than enough. The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And he's saying the same to you and me today, not only as we continue through the easing of the lockdown, but as we journey through life and occasionally feel that twinge of pain in the side, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. When old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard, she couldn't find a bone for the dog because it was bare, it was empty. When you and I turn to the Lord, that will never be our experience. For in the words of the letter to the Hebrews, God's throne is a throne of grace. And as we approach it, we find grace to help in time of need. Over the years of Christians have thought and written and preached about following Jesus, they've come up with a little expression, the means of grace. And that little expression simply refers to the ways or to the means in which God keeps supplying us with grace to keep us going, to keep us in the way of Jesus. There are, I think, three ways in particular. Prayer, His Word, and meeting together through our congregation. Through these three ways, we receive grace to keep going. At the moment, some congregations are beginning to gather again, though it'll be somewhat different and much smaller as they gather in their church building. Many of us still meet virtually, and on our own, we read His Word and we pray. And when, as we come through this experience, when you're able to gather again as a congregation in First Rathfrey Island, may there be a renewed sense of freedom, a deep sense of gratitude for the grace of God, which was sufficient to bring us through. There was grace for the thorns. There was grace that is sufficient. And thirdly, please note that His grace is for our weaknesses. If you had to write your CV to a company, an application for a job, what would you write about as you filled out the form? I think you'd write about your achievements, your experience, your grades. You'd write in such a way that you'd want to impress the employer that he or she would be a fool not to take you. When they were going through school, our daughters had to keep and fill up a folder which was known as their record of achievements. Now, probably, we don't put down on our CVs, we don't list our record of achievements, things like our mistakes, our failures, or persistent weaknesses. I doubt many congregations or any congregation would call a minister who talked up and said, here's the record of all my weaknesses and my failures and mistakes. And yet Paul had learnt a lesson which resonates with our hearts, and it is this, that it's only through our weaknesses that we learn to lean on the Lord and to rely increasingly on His grace. Otherwise, we might sail on merrily in our own way, relying on our own strength, boasting even in our own abilities. Peter, as he wept bitterly on that night of betrayal, having denied the Lord. Samson, after his hair had been cut and he fell prisoner to the Philistines, both of them learned to their cost the foolishness and the danger of dismissing the Lord, of going out in their own strength rather than His. When I read of Paul praying three times, it reminds me of Jesus also praying three times. Jesus prayed not that a thorn, but that a cup would be removed. And yet both for Paul and for Jesus, their prayers were not answered, not in the way that they would have wished or asked for. For God the Father had something else in mind, that Paul would rely more on the Lord and not on himself, and that Jesus, through going to the cross, would win for us our salvation and open up to us God's grace. You may have prayed and found that some prayer of yours has not been answered, not in the way that you asked or would have wished. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It doesn't even mean there's anything wrong with your prayer. Maybe it's because God has something else in mind, something better in mind, whether for you or for someone else. So in conclusion, we know that we haven't escaped completely the COVID-19 experience. It's still very active in our world. Here we are dreading a second spike in the autumn, or even clusters breaking out locally here and there. and we have not yet completed our journey through life. But as you look in the rearview mirror and see how far you have come, whether in this past few months or over the journey of your life, can you say, along with the hymn writer, 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far? Or in the words of Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And as you look through the windscreen into tomorrow and the road ahead, can you say with the hymn writer, His grace will lead me home? Will you step out into this week with confidence that His grace is sufficient for you? Our loving and gracious Father God, we thank you for these words written by Paul openly and honestly about himself and his experience of your grace. We pray indeed that we might be able to say with him, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And may we be able to prove, both through these months of this virus and through the journey of our lives, that your grace is sufficient for us. Hear us also as we pray now for other people. We thank you for our minister Trevor, and pray especially for him during these weeks of rest and refreshment, away from the burden of the congregation and the busyness especially of recent months, that you will renew his faith, his hope, his love, that he will be restored to us and return fresh with fresh energy and enthusiasm and come back in the strength and the grace of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we think of how this virus has impacted families in all kinds of ways. And we pray that over the summertime, when there is a change in routine and some kind of break and relaxation, the family life will be renewed and refreshed. We think of those who've had the joy of a child being born and are wondering about a baptism, that they might patiently wait until the right time. We think of those who had a wedding planned, that all the plans have been knocked awry, that you'll be with them as they make rearrangements and look to their future life together. Especially we pray for those who've lost a loved one, either as a result of this virus or for some other reason, and have had to go through a very different kind of funeral. As they continue to journey through the valley of the shadow, we pray that you will journey with them and that they might find in you their comfort and their strength. Our gracious Father in heaven, we pray for our wider Presbyterian family. We remember before you our moderator, the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce, and the Clerk of the General Assembly, Trevor Gribben. And we pray that you would be with them, give to them the wisdom and understanding that they need to give leadership and direction to us all at this time. May they rely more upon your grace than anything else. And our Father in heaven, we pray for those who have been given responsibility within our nation at large, our Prime Minister and government at Westminster, the Executive in Stormont, that they will continue to receive the best of advice and make good decisions as we journey through the easing of restrictions and wonder what the future may hold. Our Father in heaven, hear this, our prayers for others. And as our time of worship and our service comes to a close, we pray indeed, as I pray for you, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.
To pay my ransom, why should I gain? Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds that paid my ransom. Your wounds have paid my ransom.